always looking for good stuff for us to worship with here at church. So thank you, worship team. Great stuff. All right, let's move on into the Word. I'm going to start right now. This is going to be an interesting word for you. I notice the young people aren't here to dismiss. I don't get to forget them again. All right, starting out today in Psalm 139, verse 19 says, "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies." Well, there's a cheery thought to start off. Give you an idea of where we're going here. You know, there are a lot of people who don't read the Bible that are often mistaken about what is in it. If they were to read it, they would certainly be surprised. The Bible doesn't just talk about love and peace. You realize that. It also talks about war and hatred. Now, let me tell you something about loving God. We're all about the love, right? We love God. If you don't hate the enemies of God, you don't love God. Or you're ignorant. I mean, maybe you don't know who the enemies of God are. Well, that's where we go to the Word and we find out what God loves and we find out what God hates. Yes, God hates. There is that aspect of His character. Love is certainly abounding toward those whom He's created. Hallelujah. But there is hate. And you know, love is not the absence of hate. The absence of hate is ambivalence, where you don't care one way or the other. No big deal. I'm here to tell you tonight, and my message is entitled, "Hate is Necessary." You may never have thought about this, but love is often the motivation for hate. Did you get that? Love is often the motivation for hate. If you've ever seen your child sick, you love your child, you hate that sickness. It's the love you have for your child that just tears you up to see something that would ravage their body. Well, we're going to talk about the necessity of hate tonight. So let's pray. Lord, I pray that in this message, your truth comes forth. I pray, Lord God, that if there are any misconceptions that we have that are covered tonight, that your Spirit helps us to deal with those. Lord, I pray that you would just infuse this time with wisdom and grace and just an opportunity for us to take another step in this walk, this journey that we have in our life with you and in the kingdom. And we thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this psalm written by David is a psalm about the enemies of God and perfect hatred. You know, it's very important that you understand this. The real enemies of God have never been and never will be people. Get a hold of that. In the light of the New Testament revelation, we understand that the real enemy of God is the devil. It's the devil. Our struggle is not against human beings. We wrestle against spiritual powers of wickedness. When I say I hate the enemies of God, I'm never talking about any human or any group of people. That's important. We're not talking about people. God loves people. Jesus died for people because of love. People are the things that we're fighting for, right? People are the treasure that God wants to receive. So we are not fighting against people. The enemies of God that are talked about in this scripture that we talk about tonight, it's the devil and his demons. That's the enemy that we're referring to. And I don't have a problem saying, I hate the devil. I hate the devil. In fact, the only thing I can say I really hate is the devil and his works. You know, sin, disease, suffering. I hate those things. Now, you know, we often use the word hate a lot over silly things. Like me, I hate cooked carrots. I can use that term. I hate them. I'll eat them if they're put in front of me. I won't go out to buy any. I'll eat a good raw carrot anytime, but I hate cooked carrots. But it's not the same kind of hate that we're talking about here. So understand, this is a hatred for the devil. If there were no devil, we'd have no real reason for hatred. Really, but since there is a devil, it is necessary to have hatred. Did you catch that? Because there is a devil, it's necessary for us to have hatred. We can't be ambivalent toward the devil. We can't be lukewarm toward Jesus, and we can't be lukewarm toward the devil. Right? We need to have a red hot love for Jesus Christ, and we need to have a red hot hatred for the devil. Is there anybody here with me on this? Okay, because you're kind of looking at me like I'm a distant figure on a hill somewhere. We have to have that hatred for the devil. I know this is a little, it seems counterintuitive for a Christian group, but it's important. You know, the drama of human existence is really the struggle between good and evil. And we need to realize that there is an intelligent design behind the evil that we encounter here on the earth. And the architect of that evil is the devil. Evil is not some benign or faceless force. There's an intelligent personality behind evil in the earth. And again, it's the devil. And if you just think about that a moment, hatred should start to bubble up on the inside of you. The devil has a grand master plan that will eventually lead much of the world to worshiping the Antichrist. He has an all-encompassing plan for the human race, and he also has a plan for you, and he has a plan for me. And it's not good stuff. The devil has simply a strategy to defeat us. Now, thank God it doesn't have to work. Hallelujah. But we need to know there is a plan. We need to know that there is a devil who stays up nights trying to think of ways to destroy us. He's trying to wreck our lives. He has a strategy for evil. And the devil has a hierarchy of evil spirits in league with him. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." I mentioned this earlier. "But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And I know, trust me, it's uncomfortable for us to talk about hate. It's uncomfortable for us to talk about the devil. But the Bible talks about it a lot. And sometimes there are some uncomfortable things we need to deal with to make sure that we're on solid ground. There is a structure and there is a ruling personality over the evil of the world today. Now, get this. This is an important point. Man is responsible for his choices and cannot be held innocent apart from Jesus. So I don't want to hear anybody do that, "Oh, the devil made me do it." That's a bunch of hooey. The devil will only make you do, if you want to use that term, what you allow him to do. Where you are deceived and you allow his influence in your life, well, but you're responsible for those choices. The devil can't make you do it, but he is the author of confusion. He's the author of transgression and sin itself. Now, we as Christians, we have a hatred, but what we hate because we're grounded in love. Because of love, I believe you have to hate. I believe there's that element. Romans 5:5 says the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Galatians 5:6 says, faith works by love. There's a whole lot of love in this. Love is the pinnacle of Christian development by far. It's the supreme calling on our life to be men and women controlled and dominated by the love of God. Because we're motivated by love, that's also why we hate what we hate. Conversely, what the devil loves, disaster and sickness and disease and tragedy and sorrow and people going to hell. See, he loves those things because he is founded in hatred, down to the smallest molecule of his malevolent being. Malevolent, that's the devil. It's not a word we use a lot, but malevolent merely means to be motivated by vicious ill will. Not just an unhappy attitude, malicious, vicious ill will. By the way, he doesn't hate you for any personal reason. He really hates God. But he can't do a darn thing about his hatred for God. He has no power or authority. Can't do it, except he can attack what God loves. It's because of Satan's all-out hatred for God and God's all-out love for people that he attacks human beings. It's not personal, but it is serious. I don't think, as a human being, we really have the capacity to understand how wicked, how viciously motivated by ill will the devil is toward us. I just don't think we think in those terms. I don't think we understand the magnitude of his hatred. If you need some tangible reasons to hate the devil, let me give you a few. Let me help expand your understanding of what we're talking about. I hate the devil because the devil lies about God. Why is it that so many people on this planet are afraid to come to God, to have that relationship with Him? Why is it that most people honestly don't want the will of God in their lives? Why is that? It's because the devil has lied to people. The devil has deceived them. The devil has confused them about who God is, about his character, about his will for their lives. Why do people think that God is harsh and mean and just out to get them? Why? No, that's not us here. But remember, we live in a different kind of a community than most in the world. Because the devil has filled the world with lies about the character of God, I hate him. Because I know through his deception, through his lies that he has sown over the centuries, starting all the way back into the Garden of Eden, through all of that, he has created untold evil and horror and suffering on this earth. I hate it. Another reason I hate the devil, because he corrupts innocence. He corrupts innocence. He loves to attack the innocence of children. He loves to murder babies. And I am talking about the abortion industry. That's demonic. I really feel like I want to get on my soapbox about that right now, because there's some things happening in our world, in our country, but I don't have time for that. But know this, it just stirs up more hatred in me for the devil. Not for the people, for the devil. He loves to abuse children and corrupt them and likes to destroy their lives even at the young and tender age however he can get a foothold in their life. I hate the devil because he destroys lives through sin, through sickness, through disease, through alcohol. Oh, I like to get on my soapbox about alcohol too. And I'm not one of those that think that alcohol is banned in the Bible. I just see the effects that it has on the lives of people. I see the damage that it has done in our society. I see the terrible marriages and families that are broken apart because of it. And I tell you what, I hate alcohol too. I don't hate those who drink. I don't hate the companies that make this stuff. That's my own little soapbox there. I tell you, it's just that the devil uses it so proficiently. It's amazing. And you know what? Well, I won't get off on that either. The devil uses, you know, gambling because it ruins lives. The devil uses divorce. You know, God's word says, I hate divorce. I hate divorce too. I've been through it. I've seen the effects of it. I see it in our lives this day. And I hate it too. But it's, well, moving on, or I'll never get done tonight. Number four, I hate the devil because he leads people to hell. I think everybody here can agree with that. The Bible says hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not prepared for human beings, but the devil is intent on taking as many down with him as he can. You know, the Bible says that we should give no place to the devil. That's in Ephesians 4:27. And I don't want the devil to have any place in my life. I don't want him to have any place in my home. I don't want him to have any place in my car. I don't want him to have any place in my computer. Think about that. Don't want him to have any place in my computer. I don't want him to have any place in my mind. I don't want him to have any place in my church. But there is one exception. You must give the devil a place in your theology. See, if you don't put the devil somewhere in your theology, you end up blaming God for everything. So many people do that. Tragedy comes into their life, and it must be God that did it. Job's a prime example. You know, Job didn't have the Bible or preachers, and there was precious revelation back in his day. So, who stole Job's goods? Who killed Job's kids? Who made Job sick? Well, we know because we've read the book. But Job didn't have the book of Job to refer to. So the only conclusion he could come to was, it was God. We know it was the devil. Job didn't know. So he assumed it was God. And what happened when Job thought that it was God? Well, he got depressed. And we would too. If you thought God was behind all of the hard things in your life. So you have to recognize that it's the devil and not God that comes to steal and kill and destroy. I hate the devil. Say it. Say it with me. I hate the devil. Say it like you mean it.
I hate the devil.
Yeah. This is a great crowd. You know, there are a lot of Christians that would get really nervous about saying that, especially out loud. I mean, he might hear us. You might make him mad. He might try to get you. Well, I'm not afraid of the devil because I've got armor. Right? I've got a helmet of salvation. I've got the breastplate of righteousness. I've got the belt of truth. I've got my feet shod with the gospel of peace. I'm holding on to that shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We have weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for our weapons, or the weapons of our warfare, are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We have weapons. We have the Word of God. We have the name of Jesus. We have the blood of Jesus. We have prayer. Hallelujah. We have praise. And we have authority. Don't you worry about the devil. The devil ought to be worrying about you. Luke 10:19 says, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." If we don't know that we have authority, we can't use it. And if we don't use it, we might as well not have it. Come on, you have authority. When the devil came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, the devil takes him up to a high place and had him look over the area, and he said, all of the authority has been given to me. And in reality, that was true. I always thought it was interesting when I read through that Jesus didn't say, No, Jesus didn't argue with him the fact. All of this authority, he came to tempt Jesus. I tell you, the devil had all the kingdoms under his authority. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying," after his resurrection, "all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Ha-ha! That authority the devil boasted about was no longer his. Jesus had it. And he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." If Jesus has all authority, how much does that leave for the devil? Yeah, Jesus has it all. And what Jesus has, what's he done with that authority? He's delegated it. So then tell me, why should we be afraid of the devil? We've got armor, we've got weapons, we've got authority, we've got power. 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Hallelujah. So you have to decide whether you're going to believe that or not. You know, if you're a little timid about saying, "I hate the devil," well, start thinking about this. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's talking about the devil. It's talking about the Holy Spirit in you, the power of Christ in you, and the devil out there. But see, the devil, he's going to try to convince us that he's got the power. But the one that lives in you has a whole lot more power than the devil. Praise God. Jesus talked about casting down demons by the finger of God. And I like that analogy. You know, it didn't take the fist of God. It didn't take the arm of God. Just a little finger. Boink. You're done. Go. Boink. Cast them down by the finger of God. Back to Psalm 139:19. It says, Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. Wouldn't it be nice if God would just wipe out the devil? I mean, John Osteen used to say, if I was God, the first thing I would do is kill the devil, then I'd invite all the demons to his funeral, and then I'd kill them too. God is going to, in a sense. He's going to kill the devil. Now, the devil's not going to be obliterated because he is a spirit. He is an eternal being. But he's going to be destroyed in the lake of fire. And so we have to ask ourselves, why doesn't God do that now? Well, justice demands that the devil, if he's destroyed in the lake of fire, that all the people who align themselves with the devil must be destroyed there as well. And God doesn't want that to happen yet. Pastor Ben's going to teach us a lot more about that in the weeks to come. What we're going to do, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the church, we are going to labor together to save all that we possibly can. See, after we've saved all that we possibly can, that's a decision God gets to make, then God will destroy the devil by casting him into the lake of fire. Hallelujah. And even though we can't destroy the devils yet, we can destroy his works. We can. If the devil shows up in our life, well, we don't have to give him any reason for joy. Amen? In fact, we have biblical instruction on how to deal with the devil. In Psalm 115, verse 16, it says, "The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men." In other words, you do have authority over the enemy. God created man in his image, and he said, let him have dominion. And that's when Satan came in as a serpent, and he deceived Adam and Eve and got them to yield what God had given them, their dominion, their authority. And Satan became the god of this world. He had the authority. But God gave dominion, gave the keys, if you will, to Adam. Adam and Eve falling for Satan's deceptions. Remember, I told you I hate him because he's a liar. Lied about God. Well, they fell for it and they relinquished dominion to the devil. I don't know why, but they did. And Satan must have felt pretty good about that because he had authority. And in all of that time, he wielded a very heavy hand over all of creation. Even man made in the image of God, yes, even man. And to be real, the devil hadn't met too many men that he was really impressed with until the Son of God became the Son of Man. And as a man, he has authority on earth. See, the Son of God was born without sin. Satan couldn't rule over one born without any sin. He ruled over those who had sin. But not with this one. He had no authority over Jesus. Jesus had reclaimed the authority and the dominion lost by Adam. And now Jesus holds all of that authority and he delegates that authority. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus stomped the devil's head at resurrection. And then on the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, he compounded that fracture. See, before Pentecost, there was just one spirit-filled man with authority on the earth. And the day after Pentecost, or the day really of Pentecost, another 3,000 spirit-filled people with authority were added. And then another 5,000, and then, well, millions and billions are being added. How many sons of God are there now? I don't know. I don't think you can count them. And I tell you what, the day is coming when the devil's time is going to run out. And I'm going to do my best, and I hope you do your best, with what little time we have here on the earth to make it as unbearable as possible for the devil. And in fact, let me give you 7 ways that you can torment the devil. 7 ways to torment the devil. Number 1, speak the word. Speak the word. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The devil's not afraid of your Bible, you know, unless you get it in your heart, unless you speak it out of your mouth. So speak the word. Speak it. Believe it. Learn it. Another way to torment the devil, praise God. Praise God. You know, praise stills the avenger. And when you sense the devil is trying to influence you or the situations in your life, well, praise God. You're not praising God because the devil's doing that. You're praising God because you know God is your answer. God is your source, and God will be victorious in that situation. So just praise God. Whenever you feel like the devil is oppressing you, the devil is meddling in your family, the devil is doing something in your workplace, just start praising God. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. Third thing I like to do, if I want to torment the devil, I pray in tongues. That's right. Pray in tongues. I mean, if nothing else, it reminds the devil of Pentecost, right? What a nightmare that had to be for him. Pray in tongues. Jude 1:20 says, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It strengthens you, and I believe it weakens the devil. So if you want to torment the devil, just pray in tongues more. I've always said this, and I believe it, and it counts for me as well. I don't think we pray in tongues enough. I really don't. If you don't pray in tongues, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, well, this is a good place to jump into that pool. We'd be happy to pray for you to receive what God has already blessed you with. All right. The fourth thing I like to do, if I really want to torment the devil, this might be the best way to torment the devil. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. Nothing does more damage to the kingdom of darkness than when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you're going to take people right out of his grasp. The truth is going to be told in the gospel of Jesus Christ, where the lies are going to be defeated. Share the gospel. Another good one. Torment the devil by laying hands on the sick. You know, Satan loves sickness and disease. And he may not be the direct cause of sickness, but he certainly is indirectly in every case. Right? Before he stole that dominion and authority, before he beguiled Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, there was no sickness. There was no disease. It was because of their downfall, their sin, that sickness and disease entered the earth. And so we can blame it all on him. I don't believe, again, that every sickness and disease we have is a manifestation of the devil in your body. I think it's part of living in a fallen world and you know, natural factors and genetics and all of that goofy stuff that comes to play in this. Nonetheless, even if the devil isn't the one who specifically afflicted you with some disease, I tell you, he revels in it. When you're suffering with some injury, some physical defect, some sickness, he's happy. So I say, let's torment him. Let's lay hands on sick people and see them well. Man, whenever you encounter folks who are hurting, who need healing, have some compassion for them and have some disgust for the devil and pray for those people. You know, I think we sometimes need to stir up that kind of compassion. I think we can get pretty callous to those who are physically hurting. You know, we tend to settle. It's easy to think, well, they're getting medical help. They'll be okay. Or sometimes we just say, well, that's just their cross to bear. They just have to live with that. No, we need to stir up our compassion. And sometimes we need to stir up ourselves too. How many of us, I don't want to see anybody raise their hands, but how many of us come to church with some sort of ailment, some sickness, and we've not asked for prayer? Or you asked for prayer a month ago, but you haven't seen the manifestation of God's healing in your life, and so you just gave up on it. Well, come on, stir yourself up too. You can ask for prayer every week if you want. Twice a week. Like, I have church service on Wednesdays, and you can do it in two services on Sunday. Come on, people. There's no reason for us to settle for sickness in our bodies. And I'm saying this mostly because I love you and I hate the devil. I don't want to see him have an advantage over your body. I don't want to see you waylaid from the service that God could use you for in your life because you're just not feeling up to it. Let's pray for one another. Let's irritate the devil. Here's one of my favorites. My sixth way to just torment the devil. Give an offering. Yeah. Give an offering. Why do you think that Judas hated what Mary did when she broke that alabaster box of perfume and poured it out all over Jesus? Why? Because Judas was filled with the devil. And I tell you what, the devil hates it when we're givers. The devil hates it. Sometimes I give an offering just to make the devil mad. Why not? I know he doesn't like it. You know, what the devil would have you do is just be a hoarder. Be stingy. Keep it to yourself. And that's usually when I give an offering just to make the devil mad, when I start feeling those little stingy things in me. And I was like, oh, I can't really give right now. I've got other things I've got to do and stuff I'd rather do. And if I don't, and when I start feeling like I'm hindered in my giving, I'm just going to give a bigger offering. And then I'll laugh at the devil. Ha, I won that one. Number 7, talk about eternity. Talk about eternity. In fact, specifically say, hey, devil, Revelation 20:10. Let's read that. It says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Remind the devil. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. And I, you know, just, hey, devil, one day it's going to be Revelation 20:10. One day it's going to be Revelation 20:10. You're going to be in the lake of fire. I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be ruling and reigning with Jesus. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil is a malevolent, evil force, but he has no power over you because you are washed in the blood. Amen? You are filled with the Spirit. But he is still at work, trying to take others to hell with him. So let us stand up. Let's torment him. Let's share the gospel. Let's rescue those as snatching them from the fire. And whenever the temptation is there, submit yourself to God. Whenever the devil is suggesting things that your spirit is just saying, no, that's not a good thing, instead of going along with it, resist the devil. Submit to God. The devil will flee from you. He has no option. I mean, what's he going to do to a person who submits themselves to God? How is he going to have victory over that person? It's when you walk away from God. It's when you turn your back on some of the things you know to be true. That's when the devil can gain victory and a stronghold in your life. So resist him. Let's follow after God. Let's hate the devil. Let's love people. Let's love people. I tell you, when you do these things, 7 things I just said, you will be resisting the devil. You'll be fighting against him. You'll be tormenting him. Hallelujah. So I think what our best bet tonight is just to say, let's torment the devil. Is there anybody here who needs prayer for any sickness, any pain, anything in your life? If you are, if you're here, well, I tell you what, those of you who are here, who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been commanded to lay hands on the sick, right? In faith, we're going to lay hands on the sick. So if you are one of those people who could use prayer today, would you stand? And we'll just have the people around you who are believers lay hands on you, and we will believe for your healing. Okay, and I don't want to belabor this, but I know there's a lot more people out there who could use prayer. I just know in a crowd this size, there's lots of us. All right, so let's pray. And in fact, I'm not going to lead you. Those people around you, they're the ones with faith. They're the ones with power to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So gather around them. Anybody that needs prayer, stand up. Let's pray for them. And I'll finish just by saying, Father, thank you that you have given us power and authority, that we no longer have to kowtow to the devil's whims, that we can resist him, we can fight him, we can torment him, because we love people and we love you and we're thankful for all that you've done for us. I ask, Lord God, that you just strengthen the church in its resolve to follow hard after you and resist the devil. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
is an end.